its rotation, the electric field is created. That field eventually creates matter, because that amount of energy becomes crystallized, so to say. So in an atom, energy has been completely put in. That is what we mean by an atom. When the whole energy of atom is released, one atom is able to destroy Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Destroy and still have much extra energy. Just one atom. Similarly, your mind is nothing but conscious energy, the energy of free will. It has immense power. But if you look at it, you will never find any energy there. You have to go through definite processes. Similarly, your mind has infinite energy in it. It can change the whole universe. But its energy has to be released. Bhavana avashyak karyam. There are definite methodologies by which you have to go. But you have to continue to do it until you are absorbed back in the eternal witness. Then only the energy remains. Now you don't call it mind, you call it Shiva. As long as it is limited, it is mind. Once it is released, it is nothing but the Lord. So, tavan mano niruddhavyam hadi yavat gatakshayam. Etad jnananca mokshanca. This liberation of the mind into absolute free will, this is what we call wisdom. Etad jnananca mokshanca. This is what we mean by liberation. Sheshanye granthavistaraha. All other detailed discussions in books are merely to find out how to do it. It is then that the greatest bliss is born within one's mind. So the Vaikrayani Upanishad goes on to say, samadhi nirbhauta malasya chetasah nileshitasyatmani yat sukham bhave na shakyate varnayitum viratada svayam tadantah karvina grihyate. A mind washed away of all its modifications because of equanimity or tranquility. All the spiritual practices are to attain equanimity, the tranquility, complete detachment from the body-mind complex. Once this equanimity or tranquility becomes your nature, the eternal consciousness that is Shiva becomes manifest in you. That experience is ineffable. It is experienced by the witness. There is absolutely no subject-object relationship there. In all other experiences, there is an experiencer and there is something which is being experienced. But in this final stage, there is only experience, neither the experiencer nor the experienced. Svayam tadantakkaranena gayyate antakkaranena antakkaranavastha sakshin. It is not the mind anymore which is perceiving it. But it is the consciousness. Gayyate svanubhav matra siddham. It is not captured, so to say, in a relationship. It is a non-related knowledge. Once we attain to this state, We are bound by nothing. You can say that how is it possible? In the world there has to be some limitation somewhere. You can understand it by a little thinking about dream. When you dream, within dream things have definite cause and effect relationship. Yavat bhanam kila swapne tavat saiva niyantrana. As long as you are in the dream state, it is only out of the well that you can draw out water. It is only on a road that you can walk. Within dream you have definite feeling that everything has a cause and effect relationship. There is a movement. Yavat bhanam kila swapne. But the moment you get up, don't you realize that there was no cause and effect relationship there? You saw Mr. Jones there. And there you were sure that Mr. Jones had a father. Who had a father? Who had a father? Then only Mr. Jones has come into being. But when you get up, was there a father to that Mr. Jones? In the dream when you saw Mr. Jones dying, you knew he would have gone either to heaven or perhaps to hell. You were sure of that. But now when you have got up, has Mr. Jones gone anywhere? Has he gone to heaven or has he gone to hell? Yavat bhanam kila swapne tavat saiva niyantrana. Similarly, as long as we are within the realm of the world, within the realm of nations, ignorance, avidya, as Kant tries to point out, mind can think only in terms of time, space and possession. It is in the very nature of the mind to think in terms of possession. But it doesn't mean that there is such a thing as time, space or possession. Already certain theories of physics are trying to say that time can flow both ways. Similarly, certain theories of physics assert that actually space-time is one continuum. They are not two different things. This is just to point out that though most of the time we think that things are in terms of space, time and causations, but actually they are not always like that. So this freedom of the will becomes manifest only when we get out of this dream. But to get out of it, we have to act as if free will is existing. All the time you will be feeling that your free will is being controlled and limited. And so you start feeling that there is no free will, that I am only an instrument in the hands of destiny. But at the same time, if you analyze your mind, you will find that you have the sense of free will. And there are occasions when you can feel that your free will is being exercised. The other philosophers will try to say that this feeling of free will is false. Actually, wherever you are feeling free will, there also you are controlled either by economic situations or your unconscious or your bringing up and so on and so forth. In reality, every human being feels both things. There are occasions when he can see that I am free to do such and such thing or not to do such and such thing. Then there are occasions when he feels that he is not free. The important thing is that if you assert this freedom aspect, slowly you grow to be a liberated individual. You become a free individual. And if you continuously try to assert only the limitation, you go back in evolution. Because it is through constant effort, as I pointed out, from primitive being to the modern being, it has been a movement towards freedom, not towards determination. As we practice it more and more, we are able to experience. So the scriptures say, dadhabhyasa vidhanena yatmanamna swakarmana nija vedana devaiva siddhir bhavati nandana. Dadhabhyasa vidhanena yatmanamna. To begin with, the Upanishad has told prayatna. Here it is defining what the yatna means. Dadhabhyasa vidhanena, that which is called intense and persistent practice. The practice has to be intense, with full feeling, and then it must be persistent. Dadhabhyasa vidhanena nija vedana devaiva. Nija vedana, by discriminating knowledge, knowing what you really are, the eternal awareness, which we pointed out yesterday. Until it is born out of this knowledge, nija vedana devaiva, you will not be able to experience this freedom. Siddhir bhavati nanyatha, then only you are able to get it. As long as you feel that you are bound, so you will remain bound. The confusion will not go, the ignorance will not go. In Sanskrit, a man is called Purusha. Even in Hindi, you use the word Purusha. One is Purusha as long as he does Purushartha. As long as all his actions are guided by his goal. If the Purushartha is non-existent, he is no more a Purusha. So the Maitrayani Upanishad eventually goes on to the last portion, apamāpo dhiranmauva dhyomni dhyomana lakshaye evam antargatam yasya manasya parimujyate. Apamāpo, just as water merged into water, fire merged into fire, space merged into space, is no more different. The three illustrations are to make things subtler and subtler. Water into water. There we feel as if the atoms of water or the molecules of water will remain different from each other. In modern times we have a definite way of what they call nuclear tagging of a particular molecule. So even if you have put a tagged molecule into a bucket of water, you can take it back again. So the best illustration is when the energy merges into energy. Now you can't tag an energy. So it is a subtler illustration. But even all energy is an activity. So when two energies come together, the energy is increased. There is a change. So the last thing is called, you have a space within a pot, within a jar. When you break that jar, the space in the jar becomes one with the space, the continuous space. Here, nothing has been added to that space. So the three illustrations are subtler and subtler. Evam antargatam yasya manaha. The one whose mind has entered Shiva in this particular way, there is nothing different from Shiva in him. Satayuchyate, he becomes liberated at that very moment. Now the Upanishad concludes these verses by saying, mana eva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayoho bandhaya vishayasangi mokshe nirvishayam smritam. For people, bondage and liberation is all by the help of the mind. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayoho bandhaya vishayasangi. As long as you drive your mind towards the world, and mind means you, as long as you drive yourself towards the world, vishayasangi, so long you are in bondage. Mokshe nirvishayam smritam. The moment you take away your mind entirely from this, that is the state of liberation. That is the state when your will becomes absolutely free, omnipotent. Acharya Sureshwara says, sarvatma bhavanavantam sevante sarvasiddhaya tasmad atmani samrajyam kuriyan yatamansa. Superma normal powers serve him who has the experience of Shiva as his own self and as the self of all. All supernormal powers become natural to him, not out of an effort as the yogis do it, but because all limitations have gone away, the powers manifest themselves in a natural way. This complete opening up is the ideal of being a cultured person. As Krishna points out, yavanarthaudapana sarvatas samplutodate tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. A person who has become a brahmana, a person who has attained this Brahmanhood in him, for whom everything is as easily available as water is available when there is a big flood all around. Your house and everything is flooded with water, as it was few years back in modern town. Nicely, televisions, radios, tables, chairs were floating all around. You could get water wherever you wanted. Yavanarthaudapana sarvatas samplutodati. Just as water is available to a person in that flood everywhere, tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. A brahmana who has realized this, to him all powers are easily available. But for this, continuous practice is necessary. Unless we do this practice, though we have this power, we will not be able to utilize it. A great sannyasin was staying in a city. Many people used to come to listen to his lectures. Many sinners got changed. There was a royal prince there. He also became interested. He came and said, I want to realize the highest which you talk about, which you have attained. Because I see that you are always peaceful, always harmonious in your knowledge, in your willing, in your actions. I want to attain that state. Of course, the sannyasin tries to deceive the monk. It is a path which is a tortuous path. You need not take it. But he was insistent. The sannyasin knew that this man will not be able to attain it. Because he had too much of self-centeredness and too much of aggressiveness in him. That is why he pointed out those steps which one must do before one is able to open up these powers of the mind. But because he was a royal prince, he thought he will completely refuse him. He may try to create trouble. So he said, all right, if you are insistent, I will tell you the path. But if before I tell you the path, here is a stone with me, which changes iron into gold, powers. You bring a small cup of pure iron, I will put it into it, and then we will keep it away. That will change the iron into gold in due course. So he brought the cup, iron cup. The sannyasin put a very thin piece of cloth in it and then put the paras, that stone on that, locked and gave the key to the royal prince and said, well, now I am going to teach you. You practice these things, you will be able to attain this absolute freedom of the will. You will be liberated soul. The man practiced for 12 years but did not get any result. So he was disheartened and he came and said, well, all that you are talking is mere prattle, mere words. There are no content in them. I have practiced for so long and nothing has resulted. The sannyasin pointed out that there must be something wrong in your way of practicing it. He said, that is what everybody says. If a patient is not cured, the doctor will always say that you have not followed my instructions properly. I have followed you. The sannyasin said, all right, you open the locker and bring that particular cup and let us see whether it has changed or not. It was brought and no change had taken place. So the royal prince locked out and said, well, your stone is as false as your preachings. It is very clear. Nothing has happened to this iron cup. He said, there must be something wrong with the cup. He said, that is what you will say. The sannyasin said, all right, bring something else which is made of iron, a needle or anything, a key. So the royal prince went and fetched it. As soon as it was touched by that stone, it became cold. which was surprised. The sannyasi said, now look carefully into the cup. Is there something which is stopping the contact between the two? He saw closely and found that there was a thin piece of cloth. He said, all right, now remove this cloth. That was removed, and as soon as it was touched, it became cold. Now the sannyasi said similarly, you have aggressiveness in you. You do not have the love. Yesterday we talked about love. Love is in the very nature of a human being. Unless it is manifest, it will never make you a human being. So, you lack in forgiveness because you are aggressive. You lack in love. You are absolutely self-centered. All the time you are thinking of how I am going to get liberated. With no love for anything. When a sannyasini renounces everything in the world, at that time the teacher tells him, now that you have renounced everything, there are two things which you cannot renounce. Svashariroga bhogarthaya lokopakararaja. To maintain your body properly and to be doing good to others continuously. These two things cannot be renounced. You cannot be careless about your body. You might have done all that you want to do out of your body. You do not need it for your own sake, but it is God's trust to you. And so you have to look after it. Similarly, this world is in manifestation. So you have to see that people are benefited by your existence. So the sannyasin pointed out to him that because you are self-centered, because you lack in love, because you do not have forgiveness, that is why my teachings have not worked. That is the cloth. The disciple realized it, felt ashamed, started changing his ways of life, and eventually realized. So it is the practice which leads to this attainment, not mere intellectual understanding of it. So in these 11 verses, we have dealt the problem of mental culture. The mental culture which Vedanta teaches is based on these four definite legs, so to say. Shiva rides on a bull. That bull is dharma. Dharma dharma uchyate. It has four legs. These are the four legs on which the dharma stands. This is what we mean by culture. Bhartiya Sanskriti Samaj has been conducting these lectures. The idea is so that the Indian ethos develops in Delhi. The idea is not merely to convey certain ideas, but to bring certain changes in your way of thinking, in your way of life. Mrs. Gupta has been working very hard for all this, and as you notice, Swaranjali and Amrit Geetika, they have been working very hard to give you these ideas in a musical way. You can remember those words easily. Repeat them in the process of meditation. And these very ideas which we have tried to present in the lectures will eventually come in your mind. It is this continuous practice which will bring the change in your way of life,
person, you will become a cultured person. All of you have cooperated in coming here. We pray to Shiva that he may bless you so that you attend to this cultured mind fully and become a free person, not bound by any of your body-mind complexes, but absolutely free.
Om Madram Sharmende Shumadamadeva Madram Shreva Shavriya Yatra Anvayis Pushtura Vamasastam Nirvashe Mahadeva Hitam Rahayu
Friends, the 5 days of this lecture series has brought enlightenment to all of us. The regular Vedanta teaching this time was mental culture. Shri Maharaji dealt with intellectual emotion and action to begin with, and all use of Vedanta and expanded the canvas to paint it with all the other Vedantic concepts of knowledge. He talked with intensity about the science of religion and the sharing of knowledge. Vedanta provides the essence of simplicity, truth, knowledge, virtue, truth, and rightful behavior could be of more help in attaining a state of bliss and tranquility than going about our day-to-day work. Shri Maharaji, in his great wisdom and precept, has integrated the teachings of Vedanta as applied to our living. He has opened up a treasure trove of knowledge, and these precious gems he has distributed liberally to us all here. It is up to us now to retain these gems and live in their glow, or let them slip out of our hands by our inept behavior and indifference to the knowledge that we have been exposed to here. True mental culture lies deep within us. We must be ready to give and make of our lives to receive Him. That would be total bliss. Friends, on behalf of Bharati Sanskriti Samaj, it is my pleasant duty to propose a vote of thanks to all those who made this program so successful. First of all, my thanks go out. Thanks and gratitude. They go out to Shri Mahamandirkar, Maheshanand Chikiri, who has spent time from his very busy schedule to be our guiding mentor in analyzing the philosophy of Vedanta and bring more awareness in ourselves. We are deeply indebted to Sri Maharaji for his untiring efforts. It is a measure of his scholarly attainment and fluency in language that he has conducted 1-hour-long five-day lecture series in English a language which he rarely uses otherwise. We offer our humble gratitude for his efforts. Our thanks also go out to all the office bearers and members of the Bharatiya Sanskriti Samaj who came forward and have cooperated fully in the organizational aspects and otherwise to make this function a success. Our gratitude to the Amrit Geetika group who have provided the devotional music prior to the start of the lectures. To the people, to the persons who have provided the stage decor, which is so different, so inviting, so attractive this time. And finally, thanks to you, the intensely involved and appreciative audience, who despite busy social engagements and other vital pursuits, have found the time and interest to be here on all 5 days. It is a measure of your intellectual awareness that you heard the lectures and didn't drop silence. Your self-discipline deserves our appreciation. Friends, I thank you very much once again. And now there are a few announcements to be made. The Bharatiya Sanskriti Samaj is holding a free art camp from the 20th through 21st and 22nd November at Sant Paramanand Eye Hospital, based situated on Alipur Road. Any of you here who may know of people who are desirous of taking advantage of such a free camp, you may kindly suggest this to them, as also these pamphlets are available of the detailed program at the bookstore. I shall be failing in my duty when we talk of the bookstore to Sri Pachiji, who has been manning the bookstore for us, has sacrificed the listening pleasure of these lectures. The Bharatiya Sanskriti Samaj is truly indebted to Sri Pachiji for this contribution that she is making towards this cause. It is for information to the audience here that all the lecture series have been compiled into books which are now available at the bookstore. In particular, the last lecture series is also available in the form of audio cassettes which are also available at the bookstore. For the members of the Bharatiya Sanskriti Samaj, there will be Pujan of Shri Maharaji by the members on Sunday the 12th at 10:30 a.m. at the ashram. Now when it's time for those who wish to have a darshan of Shri Maharaji to kindly leave their slippers and chappals and shoes near their seats. Make a single file on the left of the stage. To ascend the stage in single file. And I request Sri Vijayji and Srimati Krishna Bhajan to kindly assist in this task. On the left of the stage, to come up in single file, have darshan of Maharaji, and go out at the right of the stage.